A girl always remembers the first corpse she shaves.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are reviewing all of the internet's most popular books to let you know if you have time to fit them in your busy schedule. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. And this week we are tackling a oldie, not really an oldie, it's from 2014, but this book is a memoir of sorts called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Other Lessons from the Crematory by Caitlin Doughty. And basically, it is what the title alludes to. It's about her experience working in a crematory and working as basically picking up the bodies, putting them, washing them, putting them on for viewing, and then going through the cremation process. But it goes a lot deeper than that because it also tackles her beliefs in the funeral industry and the death industry and looks at kind of historical death rituals throughout time and how they've shaped how Americans cremate and view bodies and death. And it's very philosophical. So there's going to be a lot to discuss for
this. It's also like a memoir too.
Yeah, it's a memoir of her life, but I think because she's
with dead bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And that quote that Casey read is literally, I think, the first sentence of
the
book. Yeah,
it's the first sentence in the book.
Name a more epic first sentence.
Seriously, that should be part of our, like, Busy Girls Year in Review. It should be, like, best first sentence.
Well, this one wins.
Yeah, I can't think of a book that would compete with it, to be frank. I mean, other than Jane Austen, which we haven't read anymore recently.
Well, and it's like, it's absolutely, you're either going on or you're putting the book down right there.
Yeah.
Depending on who you are.
A polarizing topic. But do you guys have your reviews?
I have two short ones. I have a 4-star. Says bodies are gnarly.
Hell yeah.
And then I have a 4.5-star. It says changed my life, parentheses, and death.
Oh, that's cute. You found good ones. I honestly really struggled to find good reviews of this book.
It took a while to find good ones.
Yeah, not a lot of them are funny.
No.
So I really did not find one that I thought was like that amazing. So I'm going to read one that I feel like I just sort of related to. It's a 4-star review and it says, I cried for like a solid few minutes after finishing this. The last two chapters were so powerful. The whole book was genuine, empathetic, smart, and brilliantly funny. Even if the topic or the title seems macabre, they really aren't, in parentheses. The book was honest, but remained gentle at the same time. It didn't try to be sensational or sickly entertaining. I really appreciated that. It's one of those stories I wish everyone would read.
Facts.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also had trouble finding like a good one. Most people, like even in the 1-stars, people were just like writing
bad opinions. Like,
yeah, it was bad opinions or
but
just
a lot
like
of them are like, this was gross, I can't read it. Well, don't rate it then if you're not going to read it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very obvious that this book is going to be about burning corpses. So,
but you knew what you were getting into. And she even disclaims at the beginning.
Yeah. Literally.
Like, this is about dead bodies.
Yeah. And it's not that grotesque.
I did not think it was grotesque at all.
Well, there was one specific moment, and I don't even remember which chapter it was in, that I was like,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. But I found a 2-star review, and I'm just going to read a portion of it. It's not you, it's me. I found that I am not a fan of hearing about cremation.
Fair.
It's a good thing
totally
to know about oneself.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is a very highly reviewed book. The overall Goodreads rating is 4.2 out of 5, and the overall Amazon rating is 4.7 out of 5. What did you guys think?
I gave it 5 stars. It was a 4 basically the entire book for me, and then the last few chapters were just so like philosophical, and I really liked, like, she had some really like quotable moments where she like comes to, she concludes the book and comes to conclusions about the industry of funerals and after her time in mortuary school and learning from that. And I really thought that was pretty profound. And I thought she made some really interesting conclusions. So that's kind of what bumped it up to a 5 for me. Like, I feel like this book is going to make me think differently about all of that. And it's really changed my perspective on death. So yeah, that's why I'm giving it a 5.
I also gave this 5 stars. I really did. I almost wrote a review that was like changed my life and death, but someone else apparently beat me to it. So perfect. This made me think in the best ways. And I've told so many people about this book since I finished it. And they all look at me like, you're reading what? And I'm like, no, no, no. Hear me out. Here's what we need to talk about. And I kind of think if everyone read it, it could like change the world, you know, and how we view the death industry. And now I want everyone to read it. And it was like the right balance too of history and her story and, you know, this, what she learns from working in the death industry and also like kind of funny. I don't know. It was all over the place in the best way.
No, I agree. So I read this book a while ago and I really wanted to do it because I knew we were going to have a really great discussion about it. But my rating is not as high, actually, star wise. I gave it a 3.8. But okay. I know. I was looking back at my Goodreads review of it and I was like, God, of course I would. But so my reasoning was basically, because I have nothing really bad to say about this book. I have a few critiques, but like I genuinely loved it. It's one of the most thought-provoking books I've ever read. I still think about it all the time. It's one of the only books though, that I've ever read that I actually wish was a little longer. There were times when I actually thought she was like cutting herself short and I wanted like more from some of the chapters. And the middle did lag for me. Like for me, like the big, it's not that long, but the beginning part was like 5 stars. The end was 5 stars, but the middle was like 3 stars. Specifically, some of her personal anecdotes just like lost me a little bit. But for the most part, I really liked it. And I like heavily advocate for everyone to read it because it like actually did change my perspective on a lot of things.
Those are pretty good ratings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And pretty good ratings from, you know, Amazon Goodreads. So if you can stomach it, sounds like it's a good rec.
I feel like for a book that is literally about like explaining the process of death and like the most like in all of those like the most concrete like gruesome details, that's impressive that you could get that many people to like love the book when it's about something that people don't want to talk about and find really off-putting. So I think that's
which is the whole point is to get people to talk about it. So
yeah, this author
says thesis proven.
Author does an amazing job at simplifying but also like not going overboard about death but also not cutting corners. Like she doesn't like leave out any parts of her story, but she doesn't go into like graphic details of, I mean some of them are, but like it's all
not nearly as bad as you would think they'd be.
We've read Tender is the Flesh. That was graphic. This is just biological. It's just explaining a biological process.
Well, this feels like kind of a silly question, but is it more plot or character driven?
Well, it's character driven. It's a memoir.
Memoir. Yeah, there's really no plot. Except her life. So
great plot. I loved her life.
Yeah. She's had a very interesting life, I will say that. Mm-hmm. Next question, which I'm very excited to answer, is have you / would you read other books by the author? And I haven't yet, but she has 2 other books. One of them is actually even more highly rated than this one.
Which I'm pretty sure is the one that's been on my TBR for a long time.
Yeah. And so I really do want to read her other books, and I have them on hold at the library.
So she has one that's basically like Cats Eat Your Eyeballs or
yeah,
something.
Will yeah. My Cat Eat My Eyeballs?
That's not the one that I have on my list. It's the other one about exploring death rituals yes. around the world.
Death
that
cultures
I really
around the
would...
world. I'm
so it looks like she has three other books, actually.
Oh.
So one is she's a contributor on it. And it's You Died, an Anthology of the Afterlife. It's Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs and Other Questions About Dead Bodies. And then From Here to Eternity, Traveling the World to Find the
that
Good
One.
Yes, that one's more highly rated than Smoke It's in Your Eyes. I just added that to my read. Read.
I think that one was recommended. One of these, I found it because it was recommended on a podcast I listened to.
Mm.
And that's how I found her. Shout out National Park After Dark. But yeah, so like people are reading these.
They are. And I feel like I would like that one more because I feel like that's sort of what I missed in this book and like wanted more of. And so I feel like that book would probably be like a 5-star read for me.
Oh, yeah. Not to say that I wasn't interested in her life, but the most interesting part of the books for me was like her delving into the history.
Yes.
Because I used to love the ancient Egyptians and like Norse mythology, and their mythology is all about like the afterlife and death. So their death rituals are very ornate and elaborate. And I was so fascinated by them. So I actually think I will be picking up one of her books.
I had a Nat Geo like build a mummy learning kit when I was a kid.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway,
on brand.
We're spooky gals in the most like, it's not like we walk around wearing black and acting spooky, but we like reading about these things. So if you're like us, which I think a lot of girls are actually.
Yeah.
If you like murder podcasts and
I was just about to say that
stories, then
yeah.
Oh my God, that reminded me of something. In this book, they talk about a specific instance where like two guys in Scotland were digging up or killing
yes.
people. Yeah,
listen to that episode.
Killing people and then selling the corpses. And I've listened to that in podcasts multiple times.
Yep. I also already knew about several of the death rituals they mentioned, like the Tibetan one where they like leave the bodies out for the birds and like I knew about the stuff in the Ganges and I was like, why do I know all this?
We're spooky gals.
So if you're like us, this lovely little story, and I will be picking up her other books.
Yes. Okay. So I've changed up this question a bit. Normally it's, would you watch a movie or TV show? Yeah. So I changed it to, would you watch a documentary of this book?
We still haven't talked about the pacing.
Oh, shit.
Okay, let's answer your question first, and then we'll talk about the pacing, okay?
We'll go out of order.
We won't steal your theme, your steam.
Yeah. I would definitely watch a documentary about it. I don't want to see the dead bodies necessarily, so I'm not sure what they would be showing on camera, but like I would be interested in learning more about the death industry.
I think I would. Maybe her other book about death rituals would be more my jam. The death industry, I think it could be fascinating, but I don't know. Her memoir would be really weird as a documentary.
Yeah, it would. I feel like they'd have to turn it into more like a profile of other people who work in the death industry.
That could be like interview an embalmer and a crematory operator and, you know, like a hospice nurse, like that would be fascinating.
I would love that.
I would, because it kind of, the end of the book makes it seem like her plan is to own a crematory and work on like home deaths and stuff like that. So I'd be very curious for like a documentary crew to kind of follow that.
Ooh, yeah.
I also, really random, I on TikTok this week, right before I was like reading this book, saw a video about the people who take a boat and dispose of San Francisco's ashes from their unclaimed dead. And I was like, oh my God, these are her people. These are them. I like put it together. I was like, what are the odds I saw that video about them like taking the unclaimed dead and like doing their ashes? And then she's literally working for these people.
Yeah.
Wild.
So there are some sort of video, and it was like a professionally shot thing. So I'm like, people are doing stuff on this. There's probably something out there.
Right.
I don't know. Okay. Pacing question, Casey.
I said this already. I thought the pacing was overall good, but I thought there were certain chapters that did drag and like didn't hold my interest as much as others. But I think it still only took me like 2 days to read. It's very short.
Yeah, I think it took me like 2 days. The stories are broken up really well. Really easy to put down at a spot and then pick it up, and it's kind of like a new topic each time.
Mm-hmm.
The slower part is trigger suicide a little bit. I think that got kind of slow, and it got a little slower towards the end when she's more taking her experiences and turning them into thoughts, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not that slower was a bad thing. I liked her thoughts. I just think, I mean, no matter what, it's a quick read, but there are a few slower spots.
Yeah, there are. So in unusual fashion, it took me 9 days to read this book.
I am floored.
I know. So to be fair, I moved into a new apartment, so I haven't had a lot of free time because I'm also still working a full-time
job. Sounds like an excuse, Catherine.
You're right. It is an excuse. I gave it 5 stars, so it's not for a lack of trying. Yeah, so if I had more time, I probably would have read it in less time. But I feel like this is a good pick-up, put-down book where you don't really want to read it all in one sitting.
Well, maybe I don't think you lose interest even if you have to put it down. You kind of want to know more of what she's saying. At least that's my thought.
Mine too. Okay, well, that finally brings us to the spoiler alert section.
Uh-oh. Busy girl reading.
Oh my God.
That's wow, like two episodes in a row, Casey.
We are on fire tonight.
God damn it. Okay, well, I'll just say my busy girl rating then, because it is a 5. I think it's a great book. It's short. It's really interesting, and you're definitely going to learn something, and it's funny. Like, I think as far as busy girl books go, this is really a pretty perfect one.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a 5. Really easy to pick up, put back down, and it's short and very good. Well written.
5 from me also.
Ooh.
Wow, been a while since we had a straight 5 busy girl book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no complaints. If you like nonfiction and if you're a little curious, no complaints.
Hell yeah. Now we're on our spoiler alert section, Casey.
I was like, I'm afraid.
Okay, but are there really? It's okay. There
weren't. No, it's a memoir.
It's all like, yeah. And it's a memoir and then it's science, which
is. Look at us on our nonfiction train.
I know. We've read a lot of nonfiction for the first 3 months of the year.
More than we've read in like a year and a half.
Yeah. I was like, already like what?
Not really. But...
the number of
I think you might be right.
Well, okay. So our first discussion question is, what were your thoughts on death and funeral arrangements prior to the book? And sort of what was your attitude towards it? Did you try to avoid the subject or not?
So I'm an anxiety-ridden girly who grew up in a very like Catholic family. So the afterlife was always a scary concept, and like there's a lot of Catholic guilt that is a real thing. And so I was always like very scared of hell and very scared of like what would happen after I die. And like, I do have an anxiety disorder. So that stuff really freaked me out and kept me up at night. So I very actively avoided any conversation about death or like anything that made me confront my own mortality. Now that I'm on medication, it's a lot better. But prior to that, I would not have been able to read this book because it would make me confront that way, like way too much. But yeah, so I actively avoided talking about anyone's funeral arrangements, my parents, my grandparents, all of it. I try to avoid it.
So I was raised Southern Baptist. So, I mean, we talked about death in the context of, Christianity a lot. I lost my grandparents pretty young, so I was not a stranger to going to a funeral, but it's always bothered my mother that I do not like going to cemeteries. She really likes to go lay flowers on a grave, but I always get the ick because that is an embalmed, nasty corpse. That is not my loved one. Plus, I don't know, there's like some Christian strands of thought that don't believe in cremation or organ donation because some people think you need your whole body for when Jesus comes back. I used to believe that. I have not believed that for a while, but I feel like this book really helped me solidify those thoughts. And yeah, I've always kind of got the ick from cemeteries, and this book really just explained to me why that is. And I was like, now I understand why I have the ick. And yeah, so I don't know, not really afraid of death or dying. But now I'm sure we'll get to how has it changed our thoughts. I'll save that for later.
I also grew up Christian. But I don't know. I feel like I like reading other people's existential thoughts, but I don't feel like I'm a super existential person. I obviously want to stay alive, and if I was in a dangerous situation, I would not want to die. But I feel like I'm just not really a person who thinks about death very much. I'm not really afraid of it. I don't really avoid talking about it. Like, I would talk about it. I'm not like bothered by that at all. However, I am, or would say that I was, because I was very lucky. I didn't really experience death until my grandfather's died, and I was in high school. No, I was in college when both of them died. So I was older when I really first had an experience with death. And dead bodies do make me very uncomfortable. I would say they still do. I don't like cemeteries for that reason, like thinking about all of, like Caitlin, like you said, like all the like falsely preserved bodies and boxes under my feet is like grosses me out. And I was, and I would say still am, but this book changed my perspective on it a lot, like a little uncomfortable around the idea of like a dead body. I think I'm more someone who thinks that, like, the soul of that person is gone, and then their shell being there is like weird for me. But this book, I feel like, helped me kind of like reconcile a lot of those thoughts, and like I think what I would like. Yeah, we'll talk about how our thoughts change later, but that's what I would say was my baseline.
Okay, so I want to get into this next question because I'm very curious what your thoughts are on this. So obviously the first line of the book is what we read about shaving a body and cleaning a body. What did you think of the author starting with that? And what did you kind of think of the, I wouldn't say graphic, but descriptive details of shaving and washing bodies?
It was like jumping into like a pool of cold water, but like in a good way, because you were kind of like, oh, but then it was like really interesting. And at least for me, I'm a person where I feel like if I just know what's going to happen, I'm less afraid of it. And I think she approached this book in the perfect way, where like I feel like what I took from it, and like this first chapter is like a perfect example of it, is like, there's really no such thing as like a quote unquote dignified death, because dead bodies have a natural process and they are what they are. And it's like you can't avoid that. So you might as well just be honest about it and address it head on instead of like pretending that death has to be some sort of like sanitized experience. And so I really love that. I thought it was like a great way to just immediately get into like interesting, crazy, revelatory stuff.
I like that you knew what you were getting. Like, she was very clear, like, this is what this is going to be about. And each of the little stories she told about her experiences, I liked how they turned into a lesson on other cultures and then a thought process on the death industry and dying. And yeah, very few details in the book actually bothered me. Blending babies did bother me briefly.
Yeah, that one was hard.
The shaving one, not so much. Do I want to shave a dead body? No, because I've been raised the way this book talks about that, like, dead bodies are kind of, ooh, taboo, you know? And like, a lot of the things she started out with in chapters felt very taboo to talk about because we don't talk about them. So, but once you get like halfway through, you're like, okay, bring on the next one. Let's talk about it. Like, I liked it. She tells you what you're getting. And so you can choose to stop right there and move on.
And I think she does this kind of masterful thing where, because it's a memoir and she's starting out chronologically, it's her first experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your first experience. So you're having similar thoughts.
Yeah.
And even though she was obviously way more interested and way more invested in this, and this was her career path, and mm-hmm. most people don't choose this as a career path, she allows you to like say like, this is odd, this is a little much, but then like delves into, well, why did you think that this was a little much? Why are you actively trying to stay away from this? And so then as you're diving in deeper, like you said, Caitlin, it's a lot easier to like accept the details, and she can get more graphic and get more technical because you're more interested because now she's broken the ice. So I really think she did this really masterfully. I saw some negative reviews saying that like a child wrote this book, and I was like, no, you obviously haven't read like anything in your life because this was very well written. So come at me.
Her layout of each chapter in the book in general, really well thought out.
Yes. I felt like, yeah, like Catherine, like you said too, the idea of weaving it into her memoir in a chronological way was really smart because she kind of brings you along that mental journey of like accepting what death really is and what dead bodies really are and like how that impacts grieving. And so I agree. I think that was really smart. And she also kind of then starts off with, I think, the details that are most interesting to an uneducated person and the processes that are like sort of the base building blocks for someone that doesn't have any knowledge, which is obviously like most people. And then from there, you can kind of get deeper and deeper into it, which I think was like a really smart way to tell the story.
So this is not the first book or the second that we
or the
have
third.
Read. Oh gosh, I really thought it was only two.
I think so.
Anyway, that talks about cannibalism. What is the third?
There's a couple of different books that discuss the idea of cannibalism or mention them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We talk about cannibalism.
dead bodies.
There is a story that she talks about an Amazonian tribe that believes in consuming their dead to use the nutrients and not waste the body because they just cannot deal with the thought of their loved one like rotting in the ground, basically. And that is one of the first stories she drops on us. So once again, you know what you're getting into. And basically she talks about how colonizers force them to, and the government and all this, force people to change their death practices. What did you think of starting to work this in to the story? And like, did you like these little bits of information despite it being cannibalism and other related topics?
Well, as soon as we got to that section and she started describing cannibalism, I was like, fucking Casey, bringing us cannibalism constantly.
That's true. Why is it always Casey?
And so I was just like, originally I was like, is this the worst thing that they stopped them from eating their dead? But then she actually got into it and I was like, you know, this is kind of what they did. And even they were grossed out by it because they mentioned how they have to go and throw up and then come back.
Right, because like, it's not a preserved corpse. It's like been rotten for a few days and they eat it. And that was really gross, actually.
Yeah. To my Western-centric ideals, that is disgusting. And
explains to you why you feel the way you do reading it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she does a very good job because I almost want to condone it, but I still can't quite reach that point.
Right.
So this was one of the most impactful parts of the book to me because I had the same initial reaction. Like, I was like, oh my God. And she was like, we're not going to be judgmental. Like, the author was like, we're not going to be judgmental. And I was like, well, I might be a little judgmental. But then she like really does explain it, and like kind of understanding that, I ended up thinking it was actually really beautiful. Like, obviously my preference would not be to eat a dead corpse of a loved one. I would do anything to avoid that experience.
Not even your loved one, though. That's like your neighbor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a no for me. But I do feel like I understand the ritual and why it's actually kind of like a beautiful, special thing to do. And so I feel like that was like a very important moment in the book for me, because I just feel like something clicked where I was like, oh, and also I can kind of see why actually like not turning away from death and decomposition would help you grieve. You know, like that's part of the point of the chapter is like, yes, that is an incredibly hands-on way to experience death, but isn't that better than just feeling like your loved one disappears one day and you never really understand or like get closure for that?
Yeah, I like that she's basically unraveling your implicit biases related to death and dying. Right away, she's like turning your thinking on its head. I'm trying to find a quote I highlighted. North Americans practice embalming, but we do not believe in embalming. It is not a ritual that brings us comfort. It's an additional $900 charge on our funeral bills.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's true. Why do we do this? Like, yeah. You know why those people in the Amazon do that. They like have this deeply held belief that turns into a ritual. And ours is really just that we're afraid of dead bodies.
Yeah.
We have to make them look natural, mm-hmm. despite not being natural.
And right. This is like the key part of like where I feel like my mindset was changing as someone who was sort of uncomfortable with the idea of dead bodies, is that I realized it wasn't actually like the dead body itself that like made me so uncomfortable. It was the idea that they had makeup on, that they were pumped full mm-hmm. of chemicals, that their blood had been drained from their body and replaced with formaldehyde. Like the smell, the just knowing that their organs weren't there, it made it like every time I've seen a dead body in my life, which it has actually only been one time, and it was for a funeral that was not even like I was a child and it was someone who's not close to me. It just made me really uncomfortable to know that like that is like a weird shell of a body. Like I actually realized that it would make me feel a lot more comfortable if I just knew that it was just like literally just a dead body and not this like weird shell pumped full with chemicals.
Right. At one of my grandparents' funerals, a like friend like leaned over and kissed them on the forehead. And I was just like, not revolted, but I was like, what is the point? Like, that is not that person anymore. Mm-hmm. And also they look weird and they're full of chemicals. Mm-hmm. And even though I was like, why are you kissing a dead body? Now reading the book, I'm like, I understand why you might kiss a dead body. But mm-hmm. in like when they're super preserved like that, I'm like, what is the point? And yeah.
It's the synthetic-ness that bothers me about it. It feels so unnatural. Like, so now following this book, I actually feel like I would prefer to actually like bathe and care for like a loved one's dead body. And like, I would actually really love to do that. but I don't want them to be like all pumped full of chemicals and stuff. Cause to me, that's like the part where I'm like, start getting uncomfortable and feeling weird about it.
Well, especially because
Cool.
like the process itself to embalm is kind of like you're mutilating the body to get it to this like perfectly like preserved state. And that's really gross. And I remember at my grandmother's funeral, I'm pretty sure she was embalmed because it had been a couple of, it'd been like a week or two. And I was weirded out by like, I was in middle school and I like, it was an open casket. And I was like, she just looks like she's asleep and like she has a ton of makeup on and wearing her best suit. And I'm like, this just seems off. Like,
Don't even look like them.
I was a little freaked out by it. And I reading this book, it made me confront those feelings a bit because I didn't process them back then, obviously. But now I definitely know that like I would never, unless my loved one specifically asked for it, I would never embalm a loved one.
Yeah, I also highlighted one. It talks about Bruce, the guy who works in the mortuary in the crematory, who does embalmings, who's talking about like he would never do that to his mother. And she says, if embalming were something a tradesman like Bruce would never perform on his own mother, I wondered why we were performing it on anyone at all. I was like, oh, but then she is talking about embalming. You're like, yeah, down with embalming. And then she starts talking about the drawbacks of cremation after she's convinced you basically that like cremation is a better option. And then she's talking about cremation. And you're like, yeah, I actually don't like any of this.
I would still be cremated personally.
Well, yes, she was talking about how taking a body and turning it into a neat little box is like not real. Like that's ignoring it completely, you know, like there are drawbacks to each different one.
Well, it's all about getting closure. And that because you don't see the process, and if you're not part of like the witnessing of the process, that doesn't really give you closure. Because like, well, you know, an urn is an urn. It's kind of hard to like comprehend that your loved one is in an urn. Even if like you know, you don't know.
Well, I'm gonna keep reading quotes I've highlighted because I need everyone to read this book. She says the idea that a 9-year-old girl can magically transform into a neat, tidy box of remains is ignorant and shameful for our culture. It is the equivalent of grown adults thinking that babies come from storks. I was like, mic drop.
Reach. It is. And it's like, that's a person you love. And like, I think it also made me re did make me realize, because a big part of the second half of the book is about how detached our process is for caring for the dead and how it's really about just like interacting with bodies as little as possible and like refusing to acknowledge death as much as possible. And I was like, because, okay, so for a personal story, my grandfather passed away several years ago. He was cremated. And I feel like to this day, I haven't grieved him properly. Like, he wasn't like the closest person in my life, but I did love him. But it just felt like he disappeared. Like, because you never see anything, there was no process for grieving, for like coming to terms with like his death, for like interacting with his body and like getting to see that yourself. And then we had this moment because he was. Where we were all in Scotland, we were having a family reunion, and we were dumping the rest of his ashes into this lake in Scotland. And I ended up being the person who was in charge of the baggie of ashes. And that specific moment made me relate to this book and appreciate this book so much because we were all there to pay tribute to this man who we all loved and remembered fondly. And his ashes are in a plastic bag, and now we're gonna just like dump them in the river. And so I'm like pouring out the bag, and then these like small chips of bone come out, and it was sort of like a weird moment, and we all kind of laughed. But it's because it was like we're trying to have this serious moment, but like you cannot make death this like grandiose thing. Like it's just ashes. It's what's left of his body, but you can't it just is what it is. And so it was almost like I felt like her book felt fit this tone really well and like kind of helped me understand that experience a little more.
Well, and your story made me think of a personal story. So my last grandparent I lost in April 2020. So height of COVID pandemic, funerals were not a thing. So with my other grandparents, I'd been to funerals, you know. This one, it was we got to take turns getting out of the car at the cemetery. You could have no more than like five people standing around at a time and like say a few words, grandpa goes in the ground. And we're live streaming it on Zoom. Like, this is how bad it is. And everything about it felt wrong. Because we have this funeral, like, ritual so ingrained in us that I just, for a while, didn't feel, like, at ease, you know, because I didn't go through this ritual I was used to. However, unique about that situation was because it was COVID and my grandfather was alone in the hospital when he knew like it was time to go, he said he wanted to go home for hospice. So we were all present at his home when he passed. I saw him pass. So at the same time, I got the closure. And was it like a lovely experience? No, like I can vividly picture my grandfather's deceased face right in the moment. But also I saw him before he was embalmed and stuff. It felt a lot more real than when we saw him post-embalming. So even without going through all the ritual, I felt the closure because I was with him when he breathed his last breath, you know? And so I feel like I didn't really process that all together until reading this book, kind of understanding why we feel the way we feel going through these rituals. And it's because there's no belief behind our North American ritual.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she doesn't shame, because a lot of rituals tied to religion, and she really doesn't shame North America for not having like a religiosity or spiritual nature. It was more of that. I think she was kind of hinting at capitalism being a problem without directly saying the words capitalism is the problem.
She pretty much directly said the words capitalism is the problem.
When they start talking about like $900 urns, she's like,
yes. She more pointed out like selling a $30,000 casket and look, you should do this makeup feature for another $100. Like, it definitely made the death industry an industry instead of making it a ritual practice for getting closure for your loved ones. So
it's
I think
we're privileged to have this industry and not have to deal with death.
Yeah.
It's a first world country kind of thing where someone else handles it for us.
Yeah.
But that also means that you lose the personal connection.
Yeah. It doesn't serve us well.
Well, and I enjoy her talking about how being around death every day made her better, not only better understand her mortality, but see her own life in more colorful ways, all the little moments and everything, appreciate them a little more because she's seen these bodies, she's seen these family families grieve, like she's the one pushing the button to send them into the cremation machine. Like, I like that she reflects and is like, I think I have more feelings because I'm not as bottled up as everyone else is trained to be now. Granted, those more feelings led her to maybe almost commit suicide, but that was a darker turn on the book.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a whole quote at the end where it's just, death might appear to destroy the meaning of in our lives, but in fact, it is the very source of our creativity. As Kafka said, the meaning of life is that it ends. Death is the engine that keeps us running, giving us the motivation to achieve, learn, love, and create. So yeah, your mortality is the reason why you are human.
Well, and she's talking about people seeking immortality and she's like, stop seeking it because death is the inspiration for all art and all beautiful things in our world.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really insightful.
I really loved it. And I remember loving it too, because I connected a lot of those themes to books we've read that were Greek mythology inspired, where some of the characters are immortal. And you really do see how that kind of erodes the meaning in their lives. Like, they don't live the way we do. And it's kind of sad, actually. You know, it's like this curse that they can't care and love and achieve because they don't have a timeline.
Well, we kind of touched on some of these, but I'm curious, which of her stories or anecdotes stood out the most to you throughout the book?
I mean, how can we ever forget the Amazonian one? But I'll speak first just because I read this book probably over a year ago now, so I don't have a super clear memory of all the stories. But I remember when she talks about the ritual. I think it's the Egyptians, but I think she talked about some other stories as well in the same chapter. But she was talking about the practice of like bathing and caring for a dead body, and how like the Egyptians and like those people's families spent hours and hours with the dead body, cleaning it, preparing it, removing the organs. And that is another thing that has really stuck with me, is again, because I think it was sort of damaging for me in a way to not actually see the natural dead bodies of my grandfathers. I would actually, which obviously it's not up to me, you know, the death rituals that my older family members choose to take part in, but I would actually really love to have some time and like some sort of ritual with their bodies that are not made to feel fake and foreign. And that was another thing that I think I would have been really uncomfortable with before this book. But now the idea of like bathing and caring for a dead body actually seems really healthy and loving to me. So I still think about that a lot.
What story stood out to you, Caitlin?
I don't know why this one's memorable to me, but it's not as heartfelt. Sorry, Casey. It was just memorable. When she's talking about, well, she was talking about fragmentation. And I mentioned how, like, for a long time in the church, I was kind of taught, like, not, that's not okay after you're dead. But so then she goes into talking about how the saints are fragmented. So, like, obviously, it should be fine. It's like, good point. But then she's talking about how the people want to be buried by the parts of the saints in these churches, and how they're stuffing bodies in every spare inch of the churches. And I'm thinking, like, okay, Westminster Abbey, you know, in my head. And I'm like, yeah, I know there's full of bodies. And she's talking about they're like in the floor and the ceiling and the like eaves. And she's like, and they didn't embalm back then. And I was like, oh my God. So basically, you go to church with the stink of hundreds of corpses around you every Sunday. I was like, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In Prague, there's an entire cathedral just made out of human skulls.
Yeah. And skulls, like, are better, though, than a rotting body in a castle.
Chandeliers made out of femur bones that come out into skulls. It's weird, but I kind of recommend seeing it. It's anyway, pretty cool.
I'm a history nerd and a morbid history nerd, so that one stood out to me because I was like, ew, I never thought about the smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remind me. I have one that is not heartfelt, but when she talks about, if this is at the very beginning, I think, and she's talking about how they prepare the body for a funeral, and she's talking about how they like sew the eyelids and the mouth shut, and I was like, all right, that is enough for me to not want this done.
That's horrifying. Yeah. Like, it just reminds me of Coraline, which is like my least favorite movie of all time.
That is exactly what it made me think of. I was like, nope, 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 nope.
And like, they put,
if you
like,
guys haven't picked up on it, we all hate the movie Coraline.
Yeah.
I actually love the movie Coraline. But
Catherine and I were both traumatized by it.
Traumatized. No.
We've mentioned it before.
Yeah. But the fact that they put, it's like pins in your eyelids to keep them up, like, no.
But it's like, you take such good care of your body in life, and then you just do that stuff? That makes no sense.
Yeah. It's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the most memorable thing to me was actually when she's talking about Luke, which is her friend who she is fell in love with. And he didn't feel the same way. But right after that moment, she thinks about committing suicide, obviously. But the part that really stuck out to me was she talked about how fairy tales growing up really triggered her, or it made her think unrealistically about love and about happily ever after and about life. And she didn't realize that most of the fairy tales that she grew up on were actually pretty morbid, and they were from Hans Christian Andersen and others. And she kind of ties it to, like, so why do we shield our kids from death? Because these fairy tales originally included death, because that was an important part of the story in order to teach kids moral lessons, or teach people moral lessons. And I thought that was so fascinating, because I was like, wow, we really do very much shield our kids away from mortality and death. And I wonder what would happen if, as a society, we decided to stop doing that. I mean, don't show them like dead bodies all the time, but like talk about mortality, talk about life, and talk about how the importance of living life to the fullest, and not shield them and keep them so far away from death and teach them these like these fairy tales that are just not true. Like, that's not what real life is like. And that actually brings me to my next question, which is, do you, like, what did you think of the author's conclusion about shielding children away from death instead discussing it in a non-threatening way?
I mean, I think I'm better off as an adult, not because my grandparents died young, but because I had those experiences of this person is here and now they are not, and learning about it. I don't know. I think having that conversation earlier on, no matter what the context is, has made me less fearful of death as an adult. You know, I remember saying to my mom at one point, like, she was nervous when I was going to go out of the country for the first time. And I was like, no, if it's my time, it's my time. Like, clearly I'm, you know, I don't take it lightly, but I think understanding that life is finite and not having that shock realization when you're, you know, 40 and lose your parent or whatever, like, I think it's healthy. I agree. I think we should figure out ways to work that into even like curriculum, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you're not having, I would have the benefit of having that conversation a little more often because I grew up in a religious household, and you know, you talk about Jesus dying and stuff even. So like that conversation has happened, and then I experienced it. And I think if we build it into what we're teaching our kids, I think they'll appreciate life a little bit more.
I agree. This book made me realize, because I had never really thought about it before, but I actually really think our perception of death as this like big, bad, evil thing is deeply problematic. Because, like, it's just a thing that happens. I think Catherine had pulled another quote. Here it is. I'm going to read it because this kind of, I think, speaks to this point. But accepting death doesn't mean you won't be devastated when someone you love dies. It means you'll be able to focus on your grief, unburdened by bigger existential questions like, why do people die and why is this happening to me? Death isn't happening to you. Death is happening to us all. And it's like, why do we make death this like scary, horrific thing when it's something that is very painful, but it's also just like, again, like the only sure reality in the world? Like, you know, like, why do we hide that from children when it's like one of the only like finite, sure rules of being human?
Right. The only mystery in death is when and how it will happen.
Right. Like, you don't need to approach it or think of it as some horrible, scary thing, because,
well, I feel like going along with what you're saying, like a traumatic death, which none of us want, you know, we don't want to die in a car crash or a fire or whatever. None of us want that. It does happen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the more you are familiar with mortality and the fact that everyone is dying at all times, the easier it will be to process the traumatic deaths, the deaths where you don't have a chance to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something even I can work on, like, you know, just keeping that in your head so that when you do have this death where you don't get to say goodbye to a loved one or get the closure, mm-hmm. you can mourn correctly. You can sit with the body and understand that this person was fantastic and was here and now they're not. I think it's something we should think about, talk about more.
Yeah. This made me realize basically the only two Disney movies that are actually like talk about death or at any way like have death in them is The Lion King and Finding Nemo.
Oh, don't forget Bambi.
And Bambi, you're right. It's all the animal ones.
It's not the people ones.
Because if you think about it, we try to separate ourselves from animals.
Actually,
we're animals.
Moana does do death very lovely.
Yes. But their circle of life.
Death very lovely. But they're all new, brand new movies.
Yeah, but it's all circle of life based. And like, that's like, if we put that in human terms, it's the same thing.
Yeah. So I hope the kids are getting a better education on that, because some of these newer Disney movies seem to be tackling it a little bit more directly. Because also, I sort of, post-reading this book, resent the assumption that like children shouldn't have to worry about death, because lots of children have loved ones die. Like, the idea that death is not something children will encounter or will have to deal with is like totally false. And so that is just setting us all up for failure.
Well, and children die.
Yeah.
I work in a school district. We put out communications when a child dies. In the last year, we've had two students die.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so children have to, granted, they were high school students. Maybe it's a little easier to have the conversation. But in the past, there have been, you know, actually, we've had three students die in the last year. You know, some are traumatic, some are, suicide is a topic, and some are, though, like childhood cancer. You know, those have been the three we've had in the last year. And you have to talk to those kids about, your friend is no longer here, you know. So like you're saying, like, people close to them die, and young people die.
Yeah.
You're very lucky if you don't have to experience the loss of a young friend. But yeah. It does happen to people.
If you ignore it, you're just asking for more trauma later in life.
Right.
Okay. Well, what did you think about the author's experience in mortuary school? How they are, in her eyes, peddling disinformation, saying that bodies are uncleanly. Actually, when I was reading this book, another one of the huge revelations that I had is that actually, like, nothing happened to dead bodies. Like, they're just, like nothing is really wrong with them. Like, they'll decompose, but they're actually not uncleanly at all. Because I do think that, like,
we've all been taught that, always.
Yeah, we have all been internalized, like, this idea that, like, dead bodies are, like, gross, they're smelly, they're uncleanly, they'll make you sick, and that's not true. So what did you guys think about all that?
That was a good revelation. This part of the book was depressing because she was like, I don't believe any of this, but I'm doing it to learn. And then you hear it just reinforcing everything she thought, upselling everything. It is capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was depressing and made me hate the death industry. Even though it's an industry that has to exist because people die.
Yeah, it's a gross, unregulated capitalism. It's just, they're upcharging you. There's no laws governing really this at all. And like, I did not realize that, like, you own the dead body. The family does.
Right.
And you get to decide what to
do. There's no timeline. You know, the cops are telling them, like, oh, you have to call immediately. No, you don't. But no one ever told you that.
You can keep the dead body as long as you want. I did not realize that.
I didn't either. And it's kind of crazy because I think, especially because maybe this is also partly to blame for like cop shows and stuff, because every time a dead body is found, it makes it seem like you have to enter into this whole bureaucracy to like prove that, like, you know, like every time someone dies, there has to be some huge investigation and the cops have to be involved and like, it has to be dealt with a certain way, and it's very institutional. And she's like, no, that dead body belongs to you. And I was like, what?
Wild.
I mean, obviously, if you murdered the person, that's a different story.
Right, right.
And well, there are like laws against treating a corpse poorly or whatever, but
yeah,
keeping grandma at home and giving her a bath is not illegal.
Yeah, getting her ready, that's totally fine. Yeah, the part about the mortuary school really disgusted me, partly too, because it was more of that stuff about like synthetically treating bodies and like getting them to be just so different, and all those things that they do to the body are just so like creepy to me.
And I hate that like all of the like LA's like Skid Row dead are the ones that end up there so that students can learn how to poke and prod them to pump them with chemicals. Like it's debasing them even in death because they didn't choose that. I know like donating your body to science is a thing, and like I props to anyone who does it because it does help cure some diseases.
And she talks about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. But like there is some level of you should be able to choose that. And these people didn't have that choice.
Well, there's a difference between science and practicing beauty school on them, you know?
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's, like, it's so bad.
It's like a bad joke, like putting eyeshadow on a dead person. Oh my gosh, this just reminded me of another story. But like when that one woman had like that orange mold all over her that apparently bodies get, and then she was having to cover it up with makeup. I was like, oh my God.
Nope. Well, that's maybe a good segue into the final question. Did this book change your perspective on death in the funeral industry, and or how you want your death to take place? Not take place. What's the word for that?
The good death.
How do you want your death to be celebrated, taken care of?
Yeah.
What do you want done with your corpse?
That's one way of phrasing it.
Right to the point. We love it. Of course it did. It changed my opinion radically. And I actually feel like I have a much healthier relationship with my own mortality. I already felt like I was not like one of those people who was like super afraid of dying. But yeah, I just feel like I know a lot more, and kind of knowledge is power. It kind of dissipates the mist and the confusion, and makes me less scared.
Yeah, I know, because like my parents are older. Like they had me when they were like in their 40s and 50s. My dad was 50, my mom was 40. So I was always very scared because they kind of started talking about like their will and getting like the executor of the will as my like older sister. And that always freaked me out. And now I feel like I can enter in those conversations a little easier. And also like, because of my Catholic upbringing, I always had this like disdain for crematories and like cremation, because you're not supposed to like quote unquote desecrate your body because stuff like that. And like, even if I didn't believe in that, that's something like, it's a feeling ingrained in my system of like, oh, like burning your body, that seems bad. And both my parents want to be cremated. So I was like always kind of hesitant to even talk about it because I felt weird about it. Now I feel less weird about it. And I also feel like I can talk with them more openly about what they want. And then also like, I don't know, like maybe I want more of like a natural death or like one of those eco deaths. Cause like the flesh eating like fungus kind of sounds nice, just to like allow that to go back into the world and like spur like tree growth. That sounds cool. Like helping the environment that gave so much to me.
Yeah, similar, shifting just some of the things I was grown up with in a religious household. I definitely would be more interested in cremation now than embalming, because I've always thought that was such a terrible environmental hazard, like takes up room, puts chemicals in the ground, you know. I've never liked cemeteries that much. Yeah, I'd be more inclined. Of course, then, you know, it talks about how much energy cremation uses. So I'm kind of like, well, if natural burial is something in the area, then I'd be more interested in that now. I don't know. I also made me really rethink. She has this whole section on geriatric care and how when people live this long, it like the slow death of these diseases where they just are keeping you alive because you want to be alive when you're actually not healthy anymore, not totally present. And now I'm kind of like, I think I also want a DNR now.
Yeah.
It changed. Yeah. Rocked my world.
Because my parents talked to me about, like, my mom said, you're never putting me in a nursing home. Like, she told me that point blank, like, yeah. You're not putting me in a nursing home. Cause she had read articles about like the abuse that a lot of elderly people and neglect that they suffer in nursing homes. And I always kind of brushed it off of just like, oh, whatever. Like, of course, like I wasn't gonna put her in one, but like at the same time, like I kind of just like ignored it. Now, like looking at that, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm not putting you in a nursing home. That's abuse. And also just prolonging your life to prolong it, to be in pain doesn't sound
just to take up space.
Yeah. It doesn't sound appealing. And yeah, while I would love to live to 100, if I'm in pain and I'm not having any quality of life, I'd much rather have like a DNR or an assisted death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did really like her point where she basically tied, because I think, you know, everyone is kind of aware that our culture has this idea that like life at all costs is like the best decision. But like now I think it's more common to hear people talking about like getting a cancer diagnosis and deciding not to do chemo, or, you know, suffering dementia and deciding to, you know, call up Sweden or Switzerland and have like a self-assisted suicide. Which I just don't think I had really thought much about. Like, I don't think I was ready to go there until I read this book, but this book helped me go there, like, because she was like, we're going. And it did change my opinion, because she talks a lot about this good death and how really our like iron grip on the idea that we must live at all costs is like a symptom of having an unhealthy an uneducated like perception of death in the death industry. And I was like, yeah, like maybe we don't need to be so afraid of this, and like life is only beautiful if you get to live it on your terms.
Well said. Coincidentally enough, I now have a funeral and visitation to go to on Monday.
Sorry.
So I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna take it in with new eyes. It's a friend of mine, a few years older than me. Her mother has died after a 2-year battle with cancer. And I guess the good death, the best you could hope for kind of thing. Lots of time, really prepared for it. But still, I think this book will change now how I interact with all of these things and what I'm thinking when I'm sitting there in a chapel, while people are mourning their loved ones, or I'm mourning a loved one. You know, I think there's a lot to take away from this book. I'm sad that it's being applied almost immediately, but I'm glad I read it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that sucks.
No. But such is life.
Such is life.
Yeah, life and death, baby. So that's our discussion. So we're going to take a hard left turn into book recommendations.
Okay. This is kind of an obvious one, but I'm going to recommend I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. Mm-hmm. I think, well, that one doesn't talk about the death industry. It does talk about a personal experience of fame and grieving an abusive mother who was kind of slowly dying throughout her teenagehood and young adulthood, and how she was a very abusive person and how that kind of shaped who she was in her young adult teenage life and how she's trying to come back from that trauma.
Yeah. This is sort of a weird recommendation, I feel. And it's a book I didn't really love that much, but Bright Young Women. And the reason I say that is because one of the characters is going through complex grief, and they talk a lot about how trauma and difficult relationships can complicate the grieving process. And so, yeah, I feel like I thought about that as well with this book.
I'm going to give you morbid outdoor enthusiast. Not nearly as complex or reflective, but there's a book I pick up periodically. It's lengthy. It's kind of textbooky, but and there are a couple from different national parks, but the one I own is called Death in Yosemite. And it kind of has different chapters on different ways people die in Yosemite and like these risks people take in the outdoors. And I don't know why I find it so interesting, but I do. I like seeing what people think is worth the risk to their life, you know, or just how accidents happen and how they're avoided. If you're a morbid outdoor enthusiast, that is an interesting one. If you like, not the reflective side, but the morbid side.
Or a weird fictional book, Mexican Gothic.
Stop with the cannibalism.
Yeah. I think that one has some weird mushrooms.
Yeah. Definitely a lot about death. But yeah, I mean, that's all we've got. Please rate and review the podcast, and we love to hear from you guys. So don't just rate and review, but also slide into our DMs at Busy Girls Pod. Let us know what you think. Give us your opinions, and also give us book recommendations. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.